Now let us understand between what is the difference between an indemnity policy and non-indemnity policy. We have understood the basic concept of indemnity and non-indemnity. When we talk about our indemnity, the actual financial loss is compensated, whereas when we talk about a non-indemnity policy, only a pre-agreed amount, that is a sum assured, is paid out in case any loss happens in case of a life insurance policy. So that makes non-indemnity policy best suited life insurance policies are called as benefit-based, whereas indemnity policy, specifically general insurance, are called as loss compensation-based. The purpose of non-indemnity policies are financial security. The purpose of indemnity policies are to reinstate the prior financial position. When we talk about financial security, in case a death happens of the insured, the nominee can get that amount. It may not provide the entire things that could have been provided, but at least to some pre-agreed amount, which will give him or her a financial security. In case of indemnity policy, reinstating prior financial position, which means if any asset is lost, damaged, destroyed, the same thing could be bought and the thing could run, the business could continue. That is what is meant by reinstating. Event trigger, that is a certain, which can be either death or maturity in case of a life insurance policy, whereas in case of indemnity policies, uncertain. No one knows when an accident can happen, no one knows when a damage can happen, no one knows when a person will fall ill. So the event trigger is certain, a person who is born will die, the policy will end after a certain period. However, in case of an indemnity policy, there is no certainty regarding the event, but it is uncertain. Examples of non-indemnity policies are personal accident, critical illness, also life insurance, whereas indemnity policies are more prevalent, like fire insurance, marine insurance, motor insurance, and various miscellaneous insurance that we'll see in our chapter 9. Next important key principle is subrogation. What is the meaning of subrogation? It simply means the right of the insurer, specifically after the settlement of a claim. What do we mean by that? Suppose the insured opts to recover the loss under insurance policy, which is a faster and does not involve litigation. Thus, say in case of a motor accident, he files the claim, the insurance company gives him. But here, the insurance company gets the right to proceed with the litigation and recover the amount as a compensation and to reduce his loss. But here, whatever money that is given to the insured, he again cannot profit by taking a second claim on whatever proceeds the insurance company receives through litigation. In short, in subrogation, the insured will surrender his rights against the third parties in favor of an insurer by signing a letter of subrogation on proper documentation and stamping, and in turn, the insurer will get the right for settlement of a claim. Insured does not receive more money than the actual amount of his loss. The recovery from the third party benefits the insurer by reducing the amount of loss. An exception to this rule is life insurance policies, wherein claim under insurance policy and proceed against the offending third party. So every principle has certain exception, which also needs to be kept in mind. Now let us understand this doctrine of subrogation with an illustration. If a cargo is damaged due to the negligence of a carrier, it can be a railway, it can be truck, it can be shipping or even airways. These people have an obligation to make good the loss. The insurer can compensate the insured with the loss that has happened to the cargo and in turn is entitled for filing recovery against the carrier. So, a beautiful example of doctrine of subrogation. Another example of doctrine of subrogation can come If a private car is damaged in collision, either caused by rash or negligent driving, or by banging against a truck, the insurer can compensate the private car owner for the loss, provided he fulfills the claims process, and in turn, the private car owner's recovery can be transferred to the insurer, who can be indemnified for the loss, and he can in turn file a recovery against the person who has collided with the private car owner. Next, we move to another key principle, which is warranty. Warranty is simply conditions that needs to be complied. This concept is defined under Section 12, Subsection 3 of the Sale of Goods Act 1930. Stipulation collateral to the main purpose of the contract. So, over and above the main contract, there are certain conditions that needs to be followed, more in case of a marine insurance, like a certain care has to be taken, a certain voyage has to be followed, so there should be no deviation. So these are the conditions over and above the terms of the marine contract or any other such contract, insurance contract. These are termed as warranties. These are specific conditional promises made by the insurer and must be exactly complied with. Any breach, any not following, then the insurer is discharged from liability and insurer may refuse to honor the claim or void the policy entirely. Warranties can be two types. It can be express or implied. When we talk about express, it is inferred from the words. They are specifically mentioned. However, when everything cannot be put into words, something has to be done by common sense, implied by law or from circumstances, then these are called as implied warranties. Let's understand this with examples. In case of a life insurance, a very important warranty is disclosure, ubere me fide, utmost good faith. If the insured fails to disclose the material facts fully and accurately, a life insurance company can void the contract. Marine insurance, no deviation from specific route, can be considered as an important warranty. Here again, these are specifically mentioned, so this can be an express warranty. Fire extinguishing measures warranty. If you are buying a fire insurance, the insurance company expects that some basic protection measures are actually deployed by the insured, like having some fire extinguishers placed at individual's home or at office. If this is not complied, then that can become a breach of warranty. Next important key principle is approximate cause. Approximate cause is the exact cause because of which the loss has happened. It applies when a loss is caused by two or more perils. If there is only one cause, it can be easily inferred. But when there are two or more than two causes happen, then it is very important to understand whether that particular, which is the cause that has created the loss and whether that cause has been insured or not. So in case of proximate cause, we have immediate and not remote causes to be considered. So cause may not necessarily be the last event immediately preceding the loss, but it is the predominant cause because of which the loss has occurred. The cause closest to or immediately responsible for causing the loss is considered. And here it becomes the insured's duty to prove the loss arose of the insured peril. So insured has clear mention of the risk for which the insurance has been bought, and while filing the claim, he has to establish the fact that the loss has happened because of the insured event, and insured will be compensated only if the real cause of loss is insured and established with the insurance company. Let's understand this with a simple example. A fire might cause a person to faint, but the death of a person may be because of a heart attack he had while he was taken to the hospital. Although the immediate cause of death is the heart attack, the fire is the proximate cause because it initiated the chain of events. So if the fire is insured, the insurer is liable to pay. If not, no claim will be payable. Next important key principle is contribution. Contribution is a very important principle because it prevents the insured from profiting from multiple insurance policies from different insurers covering the same risk. So you cannot by over insurance. You won't get the claim settled because of over insurance. You cannot profit from multiple insurance policies. If multiple policies cover a loss, the insured can claim the full amount from one insurer or proportionately from all insurers. The point over here is whatever the actual loss is, that would be fully compensated. It depends upon the insured to claim it entirely from one insurer or to claim it proportionately from all the insurers with whom he has bought an insurance for the same risk. The insurers share the burden of loss fairly and prevent the insured from recovering more than the actual loss. So this benefits the insurer from not paying more than the insured asset. The contribution principle does not apply to non-indemnity policies like a life insurance or personal accident insurance because agreed benefits are provided to the insured. Let's understand example of contribution. Say a vehicle insurance. A car valued at Rs. 15 lakhs is insured with two policies. 10 lakhs with insurer A and 5 lakhs with insurer B. And if an accident happens causing a loss of 6 lakhs, now which insurer will pay how much? Considering the proportion ratio based on the insurance provided of 10 lakhs by A and 5 lakhs by B, insurer A will pay 4 lakhs, 2/3 of the liability, and insurer B will pay 2 lakhs, 1/3 of the liability. So this 2/3 and 1/3 is on the basis of the cover provided by A and B respectively. Yet another important concept which I referred when we saw about evolution is the law of large numbers. Law of large numbers helps insurer to estimate the likelihood of loss because this likelihood of loss is established on the basis of observing large numbers of samples. It enables the insurer to predict the number of claims more accurately. When a larger size is used, the outcomes are more reliable and closer to the actual results. By applying statistical models to large data sets, initially it was done manually, now in today's times, advanced technology gives you these predictions within fraction of a seconds about specific probability of specific events, and here the insurer or the insurance company is in a better position to take underwriting decisions for understanding the risk, predicting the loss, as well as to set the premium affordable as well as profitable. Insurers can spread the risk by calculating the average cost of claims for different types of insurance. Insurers can also set appropriate premium rates that balance profitability and affordability while ensuring enough reserves to pay the claim. So, affordability and profitability is a key mantra which is actually useful when we take help of the key principle law of large numbers. Let's understand with the example. Suppose an insurance company insures 10,000 individuals under a life insurance policy, and the probability of death for individuals in this or a particular age group is 0.5% annually. So which means out of 10,000, 0.5%, which is 50 individuals, may die during the policy term. So if the insurer sets a premium based on the death rate to cover the expected loss and ensure a profit margin, he has to ensure that the premium collected is at least equivalent to the loss compensation that should be provided to such 50 individuals. Next important key principle is the loss minimization. What do we mean by loss minimization? Even though the insured has an insurance policy, he has to take reasonable steps to reduce the loss or damage after an insured peril happens. He should not say just because he has an insurance policy, he wouldn't do anything to minimize the extent of loss, to take preventive measures that can further damage or create more loss. The insured is obligated to minimize the extent of loss. It mandates a prudent behavior to prevent further damage or loss. Loss minimization requires the insurer to take practical measures to reduce the extent of loss or damage. It prevents the situation from aggravating. The insurer's liability is limited to the damage or loss that the insured could not have reasonably avoided. So, insured should note this point very importantly, because his small little efforts can reduce the overall loss. In turn, it can help the insurer to manage the insurance. The insurer's liability will be limited to damage of loss that insured could not have reasonably avoided, and this also care has to be taken. The insurer may take objection and may go to the extent of reducing the claim if the insured has not taken the necessary precautions to reduce the extent of loss or damage. Let's take an example of loss minimization. Suppose there is a water leakage in a property. What should be the immediate action? Turn off the main water supply so that no more water will spill into or flood into. The salvage efforts can be use a soft cloth, small buckets to remove excess water. So on one side, it will stop the water supply. On the other side, it will not allow whatever the water that is spilled to prevent the damage to the asset. And whatever efforts that are being done, that should be documented. The plumber should be called, fix the pipe. The invoice and payment receipt should be kept on record. Only then the insurance company will understand that yes, the insured has taken some preventive steps to minimize the loss. But if the insurer fails to minimize the damage, then the insurer may reduce or deny the claim. This brings us to yet another key principle of insurance. This is the principle of reinsurance. Principle of reinsurance allows the insurance companies to share or transfer a portion of the risk they have assumed to other insurers. It simply means insurance on insurance. This helps the insurance company to transfer the risk, in exposure to large losses. It gives financial stability. Suppose some event happens, and if the insurance company has to pay a huge loss, in that case, the insurance company may have to wind up. But here, the reinsurance helps the insurance company to get some compensation, which in turn helps them to pay their insured and to remain financially stable also. When we talk about reinsurance, it can be of two types: proportional reinsurance and non-proportional reinsurance. What is proportional reinsurance? The insurer and reinsurer share the premiums and claims in a pre-agreed ratio. In case of non-proportional reinsurance, the reinsurer pays only if the loss exceeds a specified amount. So based on the type of requirement, the insurance company can decide on proportional or non-proportional reinsurance. Let's understand with this another example. A primary insurance company issues a policy to cover a large industrial complex valued at rupees 1,000 crores. 1,000 crores is a big amount, and to have protection against financial stability, this insurance company buys a reinsurance for 900 crores rupees. So out of the total risk, it is safeguarded for 900 crores if at all any loss happens due to any catastrophic events like fire or explosion. So what happens is the primary insurance company's main liability is restricted only to 100 crores. It limits the primary insurance liability to 100 crores, and the 900 crores can be provided by the reinsurer, and this helps establish financial stability. At the same time, if the loss happens, that particular insured will get protection. The industrial complex can get compensated to the full coverage because of such insurance. It doesn't matter whether it comes from the primary insurance company or from the reinsurer. It maintains safeguard, it maintains financial stability, and it maintains continuity of business. So friends, with this key principles, we move towards the next unit of our chapter, which is functions of insurance. Now let's understand the different functions of insurance. The first and the most important is to protect the insured from loss. The second important function is to enable the insured to pay small premiums, because insurance business is not just for profit making. It is for collective welfare, and hence the insured should be able to pay small premiums. It should be affordable for him. It should be a motivation for him to buy the policy. It should also ensure certainty of payment, because even though the insured buys the insurance, and if the insurance company rejects the claim for some reason or the other, then the insured will have a problem. And the most important function is to share the risk with large number of people who are exposed to the risk, the same risk. Here comes the concept of risk pooling. Another function of insurance is to create capital for the economy, because when the premiums are collected, that becomes a source of investing it for productive purposes, mostly in government securities, which comes as a good capital for the economy for productive purpose. It eliminates the worries and increases the efficiencies of people and industry. Both individual and business benefits from insurance business. So when they are compensated for the loss, both individuals and people, industries have peace of mind, and they can continue their activities or businesses. It enables the insured to acquire loans on sole secured insurance policy, which is a very important benefit of insurance, because whatever the premiums that locked in the insurance policy based on a certain value, bankers or financiers can give you a loan on that. It can also boost the economic progress, because both individuals, the business, as well as the community prospers. In turn, the economy prospers, economic growth happens. Now let's look at the characteristics of insurance. The first and most important characteristic is a cooperative device. Insurance is not just the sole activity. People come together, large number of people come together, and they work for mutual welfare. It's a contract for compensating the losses, because the losses are predefined, the events are predefined. So both the parties, insured and insurer, are supposed to comply with their terms and conditions. It helps risk sharing and risk transfer. Risk sharing is a very important concept when we talked about large number of people coming together, and anything that happens, that risk is transferred. Premium is charged for the risk insured and not for anything else. When we talk about risk insured, the asset may have a higher value, but if you are insuring the asset for a lesser risk, then the lesser premium. But no doubt, the value cannot exceed more than the value of the asset. The insurance cannot exceed than the value of asset. Payment is made at certain contingencies insured. So only when certain specified events happens, only then the risk insured will get activated. Number of persons insured is large, because only when large number of people are insured, a proper affordable risk can be actually calculated based on the certainty of loss, based on the probability of loss, which a large number will help to come very closer to this losses that can happen. A risk is evaluated before insuring, and premium is fixed based on the risk. So there is no case where the risk has happened suddenly. Everything is evaluated based on the information that is provided by the prospect in the proposal form, and the premium is also fixed based on risk, so there is no surprises happening in insurance. Life insurance is the best way to enjoy tax reduction. So over and above safeguarding the assets, life insurance policies also offer certain benefits under provisions of Income Tax Act 1961. Now we come to a very important unit which opens up the entire book, that is the types of insurance. When we talk about insurance, specifically there were two categories, life and non-life, but since recent year, the popularity of health insurance has helped itself to emerge as a separate standalone vertical in the form of health insurance. So in this book, we are going to classify insurance into three categories: life insurance, non-life insurance, and health insurance. What does this each type of insurance mean? When we talk about life insurance, it deals with human life. So human life becomes an asset. Insurer provides financial protection, risk mitigation, retirement planning, long-term savings, and social security to individuals and their families. If the insured person dies, the death claim, that is the sum insured, is paid by the insurer to the nominee of the deceased, provided proper documents are submitted to the insurance company. The insured is required to make periodical payments of premium amount to keep the life insurance policy alive. If the premium is not paid, then the policy may lapse. The best examples of life insurance, the different types of life insurance, can be the term insurance, the endowment, assurance, the money back, the child insurance, annuity and pension plans. All this we are going to understand in our fourth chapter on life insurance. Then we come to non-life insurance. Non-life insurance deals with non-life assets, unlike life insurance, which deals only with life assets. Non-life insurance provides financial protection against losses or damages to the property, health, liability, and other risk. It safeguards both individuals, businesses, as well as the assets. Individuals, businesses must decide the right protection to safeguard against the losses or damages. Here comes identification, assessment, evaluation, and prioritizing the losses based on which they decide which risk should be covered, which they can accept on their own. The best examples of non-life insurance is the fire insurance, the motor insurance, the marine insurance, and we also have a category of miscellaneous insurance, which also we'll see in our ninth chapter on non-life insurance. Next important type of insurance is the health insurance. Health insurance deals with preventive and curative healthcare costs. Nowadays, the healthcare costs are rising, as well as the different types of diseases are emerging, and becomes very important for the insured to have protection. The COVID-19 pandemic have literally opened the eyes of individuals, where they are now clear that anything can happen, and when time comes, they should be actually equipped with an insurance policy to cover the rising costs. This not only takes care of the curative aspect, but preventive. Because of the insurance, they also learn some good habits. They also learn some healthcare requirements. And all in all, it creates a good lifestyle as well as peace of mind if any illness happens. Health insurance ensures the quality healthcare without worrying about the high cost of unexpected illness or medical emergencies, provided you are insured up till that extent. It promotes financial security as well as the healthcare accessibility. We have also many network hospitals which are empaneled with the health insurance company. So they prefer you taking treatment, and you have certain benefits such as cashless treatments, and also have into non-network hospitals, but there certain procedures need to be followed. Health insurance is becoming a fast-growing segment of the Indian insurance industry, and it has already evolved into a standalone insurance vertical. So friends, with this, we have come to the final unit of this chapter in the form of benefits and limitations of insurance. Let's look at the benefits first, and then we'll conclude with the limitations of insurance. The first and important benefit of insurance, it provides peace of mind by eliminating fear of loss. It fulfills a person's need both while he is alive as well as after he is dead. It promotes financial stability, catalyzes economic development. It promotes trade and commerce by encouraging innovation. Insured can recover quickly, ensuring economic continuity. This is just a summary of what we have discussed in the entire chapter, and these benefits are indeed very useful for both individuals as well as businesses. More benefits include, it gives entrepreneurs and businesses the confidence to invest in new ventures, attract foreign investments, especially in the current era of hiking the FDI, or plan to hike the FDI from 74% to 100%. It has a vital role in mobilizing the public savings, because more awareness will bring more premiums. And nowadays, the insurer not only can buy an insurance, but combine the saving component also within the insurance policy. So that is how it can mobilize public savings, which ultimately comes into investment into the specified assets by the IRDAI and government, and in turn for useful for productive purpose. The premiums collected by the insurance company can be invested in various sectors which boost the economic growth and development of the country. Insurance complements government security programs because certain specified class, underprivileged people, people from rural areas, specifically farmers, some might not have that capability of buying an insurance, but the government schemes, the welfare schemes, takes care of the needs of even this underprivileged, poor people, the rural people who may not be in a position to buy insurance, and both the life, non-life, as well as the health cover provided by government through various security programs, which are actually implemented through insurance companies, helps them to complement the government security programs. So having seen the benefits, now let's look at the limitations. Every concept will have both benefits and limitation, and one should also be clear with the limitations also. Like the first limitation in insurance is only statistics can be covered, but dynamic risk cannot. Hence, all risk cannot be covered in insurance. That happens because certain key principles are accepted, and that's how the insurance business runs. Contract of insurance becomes void in the absence of insurable interest. Like we have seen, only when you benefit or you suffer a loss, insurable interest you have, and you can buy a contract. You cannot buy insurance in any stranger's name. Unquantified loss arising from any event are not insurable because insurance is based on certain facts. It is based on certain conditions. It is based on certain agreed value or the price of the asset. So anything which unquantified cannot be insured. High premium rates are not affordable for certain categories or people. Yes, we have seen the government security programs, but when it comes to the normal insurance, especially there are certain people who cannot afford a high premium, and hence they cannot buy such insurance even if they feel the need for. False claims and malpractices becomes a cog in the wheel. Obviously, in every system, there are certain people, fraudulent people, who are involved in malpractices. So that is a part of the game. And sometimes they can disrupt the smooth process. They can delay the process. And sometimes genuine investors may also have to face the music out of it. So false claims and malpractices becomes a cog in the wheel. And finally, insurance businesses cannot be a source to acquire profit because it's a collective welfare business cannot exist for profit. However, it has to be looked from a very special angle, the benefit that it provides to the entire society, individuals, business, and the nation totally outweighs the limitations of insurance. And that's the reason insurance is becoming a fast-growing sector in our country. Lots of improvisations are happening because of the openness, because of the new systems, because of the new products, because of the new technology, the best practices coming over here, and the total integration between public and private sector, the government and regulator, as well as the awareness of the people, is making this insurance industry grow rapidly and betterment for all. Thank you. With this, we conclude with chapter 1.